The following program is a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you like it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock.
Go to am1260therock.com and click on the orange donate button.
The humanity of the priest is a bridge to encountering Christ and should not be a barrier. People always say, like, well, if you weren't a priest, what would you be doing? And I'm like, it's hard for me to think of anything other than what I'm doing.
That's what we're striving to discern, is what is God's plan, his dream, his will, his desire for me, where I'm going to be most fulfilled. And it really is through living a sacramental life that is absolutely going to support that.
When you're married, you have to realize it's not just you anymore. It's you and your wife and God.
If you desire to be truly happy, then your life should not be about you.
Welcome to God Calling, our locally produced program that explores the various vocations available to Catholics in all walks of life. Now here's your host, Paul Orlowski.
Thank you once again for joining us. This is God Calling. I'm Paul Orlowski, and the host of the program, and have a great time doing it. And we're going to have a great time today because our guest is Father Dominic Gideon. Father, welcome, first of all, to God Calling.
Thanks so much. Great being here.
You're at St. Albert's. You're right out of the seminary, a newly minted priest, as we say.
Yep. Baby priest.
People teach you about that?
Yeah.
I figured.
It's fun.
Yeah, well, it's meant with love, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that the parishioners really appreciate the ability to help teach and mold a new priest as the priest teaches them.
Mm-hmm. Did you always have a kind of a thought about a vocation?
From a young age, yes. I mean, not from since I was, 5 years old. Mm-hmm. It was kind of more kind of junior high with the great example of the priests at the parish I grew up in, St. Anne Communion Saints Parish. And then, as a server and things like that, they would kind of either as a joke or, as a gentle mention, they would always kind of tell me, you know what, have you thought about priesthood? And that's when it first kind of came into my mind.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mentioned something about you, but somebody called me today to say that your credit card didn't work at Fiesta Jalapeno yesterday.
Oh, really?
You know who that would be? That would be your dad. I talked to him this morning.
Oh, great.
Vic Gideon, who you've heard on the radio for years and now on Channel 19, is your father.
Yes.
And great guy. We worked against one another, went to different stations, and then together. Mm-hmm. We were usually on different schedules, but just a solid news reporter, in my view, in a field where they're not so many so solid anymore, and he's rock solid, so
yeah. That's
good. My son didn't have any problems with me being on TV, but some of the kids don't like it. At a football game one time, the announcer called him Paul Orlowski. Somebody made a tackle, he didn't like that one at all.
Yeah.
But do people ever make that mistake and call you Vic or anything like that?
Every now and then. And I think, growing up, it was always kind of a joy, having or making dinner with my mom, dad's on the TV. One time we went to an Indians game and someone recognized him. It was like a Boy Scout night. Someone recognized him, said, "Wait, you're on TV." And then before you know it, all these Boy Scouts are handing him their gloves for an autograph. And I'm like, my dad's not that big of a deal, but it's kind of flattering. So it was always fun.
So growing up, you were at the Community of Saints, or St. Anne at that time.
Mm-hmm.
Server. What was your family practice? Mass on the weekends always?
Yeah. So, growing up, my parents were always good with Sunday Mass. I remember growing up in... definitely, especially my mom, kind of helping teach prayers and mm-hmm. Really kind of teaching us the faith, at a young age, but Mass and Catholic school. And so, there's definitely a good solid groundwork there.
The call, people mentioning it to you, like a priest said, "Do you ever think about this?" How important is that? Because I think, like the mustard seed, I guess, if it's not planted, it's not going to grow. So how important was that? And do people do enough of that today? To other young people.
Yeah, I mean, statistically, we know that a priest's recommendation for a young man to the priesthood is the most powerful way to mm-hmm. get somebody to think about priesthood. So that's huge. But in the family as well, we know that, you know, a parent, a godparent, grandparent, sibling, for them to recognize that vocation in somebody else is also very important. So we don't do enough of that, because for the longest time it was assumed that young men would think about priesthood. But now we're in a new age where we really need to kind of be a little bit more on the forefront.
I think some of that might be maybe the breakup of the ethnic neighborhoods. Mm. Every and I don't look it, but I'm half Italian. Every Italian grandmother wanted a priest in the family. My cousin John got me off the hook. So. And that is, I really don't say that to be irreverent, but yeah, I mean, we're not as ethnically homogenous as we once were, and I think that might be a part of it.
Yeah, I mean, and I think kind of underneath all that is really the community, and we found such deep communities in these ethnic neighborhoods, and now I think we really need to re-envision community. What does parish life look like? And if it's not rooted in ethnicity, it's rooted in our faith. And how, as a faith family, can we really rebuild those strong communities?
Mm-hmm. Now, going back to your formation, where'd you go to high school?
I went to St. Ignatius High School.
St. Ignatius High School.
After St. Anne School, yeah.
Quite important in your formation, too, seeing the Jesuits?
Yeah, I think they do a great job with spiritual formation there. So I found, there were also just the priests there, a couple of them who are both now passed, were some of the most beautiful priestly vocations that I've encountered, and really mentors in a way. But I think with my strong foundation going into high school, that was kind of primary. And so with that, going into high school, I was able to really take in all of the great spiritual opportunities there for prayer, for retreat, for service, and kind of building my faith in that way.
Mm-hmm. Tell me about your family. One thing I've never asked Vic about, I knew you were in the seminary, but how many brothers and sisters?
Yeah, so I have three brothers, and so obviously my dad and my lovely mother, and so I'm the second oldest. And for a long time, it was just us three. And then when I was 10 years old, my mom announced my parents announced to the family that we were getting another one.
Mm-hmm.
And I was, at that age, I wanted another brother. I was really excited. I wanted, someone to toss around and play sports with. And it was a boy. Four boys. And, my mother has graciously bore it throughout the years, and she now has a granddaughter, so she's happy.
Yeah, I was talking to your dad today. I said, how long are you going to keep working? He said, I got a 17-year-old. Father, stay with us on God Calling. We hope each and every one of you listening will stay with us as well, right here on AM 1260 The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio. Father Dominic Gideon is joining us on God Calling, baby priest, as you say it, newly minted priest. He's currently at St. Albert the Great, and at St. Albert the Great with Father Estock, the pastor, a good friend of mine and a wonderful role model. It's only been a couple of months now, but how are you enjoying it?
I've really been enjoying it. The summer is generally a downtime in the parish, even for a really big parish like St. Albert the Great. However, it's a perfect time for a priest to kind of be initiated in the parish, mm-hmm. and to kind of settle in. And there's a lot to get settled into as a new priest. First, you need to kind of figure out how to say Mass, and how to do the basics. And so that's been a real blessing, is just taking in the beauty of the Mass and learning how to navigate that liturgy. But on top of that, you have a room to get used to, office people to meet, and as you meet the community, you realize that you gotta, as you learn names, it's the office people, it's the daily Mass people, and kind of branch out from there. So a slow integration.
Mm-hmm. How many families at St. Albert now?
I don't want to be too inaccurate, but I think it's between 4,000 and 5,000.
Times like three or four people and bodies.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But I've always been amazed at the way priests are able to remember names. I don't know how you guys do it, but it's probably not easy.
Yeah.
But in any case, back to the seminary days, right out of Ignatius, you knew what you wanted to do?
I mean, in a sense, yes. But I think what I realized entering seminary is that seminary is really just the first major step in discernment. And so oftentimes people don't understand it. They think seminary is really just a clear path to the priesthood. But I found that, you know, seminary is, especially out of high school, it's a period of growth where a young man is able to really grow closer to Christ and discern every step of the way whether the Lord wants him to be a priest or elsewhere.
Mm-hmm. I said this on a recent show. Some people have the idea that the door is going to be slammed shut behind you.
Yeah.
And that all you guys do are walking around in Gregorian chant all day long. And
yeah.
I see the sports teams, the soccer team, the basketball teams, and the school, college, which is basically what it is. At some point, now, is there a discernment point there? Like, do I continue on to St. Mary's?
Mm-hmm.
There's a point when you decide that? Or?
Yeah. I mean, the kind of deadline is by the end of Borromeo, you need to make the decision. And so you need to apply for St. Mary's or not. But really, all throughout Borromeo, Every guy's different. So some guys might be kind of teetering every year. Do I stay? Do I go? For me, I was surprisingly a little more consistent. I feel like I always, despite, you know, opportunities and temptations to leave, I always just had this sense that priesthood was really, that's what the Lord was leading me to.
Mm-hmm. I noticed that as a younger man, you worked as a camp counselor. Camp mm-hmm. Christopher, how important are things like that in learning from young children, yet at the same point in time being an example for younger children?
Yeah. One might think, okay, you know, summer camp, it's fun. It's, you know, a kind of casual summer. But for me, that was the most powerful encounters of priesthood throughout my formation.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, while seminary is great and they teach you a lot of things, seminary, there would be a week or two goes by that, you know, I'd forget that I'm discerning priesthood. I'm just busy in school and mm-hmm. prayer. But, you know, at Camp Christopher, I had these encounters with these young people especially. And, you know, in a sense, had this spiritual fatherhood and learned what it was like to love, to serve, to teach children values and the you know, the beauty of God, and really there's wonderful ways, whether in directly or indirectly, really ministering to them.
Mm-hmm. That translates well, it sounds, to priesthood in parish life.
Yeah, exactly. And so, yeah, there's a strong sense of leadership, a really you know, daily need for good relationships with people. Yeah, and learning how to love and to preach the gospel, whether in words or otherwise.
Mm-hmm. I read on a bio of you that your favorite theologian is Joseph Ratzinger.
Yes.
Pope Benedict.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't particularly a popular pope, but had some extraordinary writings.
Yeah.
Why? Why is that your favorite?
Well, you know, it's funny because inside the seminary, we have, we're very, you know, a lot more academic and thoughtful about those things. But outside the seminary, you normally just get the news headlines and things. And so inside the seminary, I think I saw what a wonderful and holy thinker that Pope Benedict was before and after being a pope. Mm-hmm. And how, you know, you might see him as kind of stern or not great with, not as, you know, personable as Pope Francis, but he was a man who really understood the love of God and communicated it through his, especially his writing, but through his life. And so actually my ordination prayer card was, I was looking all over for quotes, and I couldn't beat, you know, Pope Benedict, who talked about, you know, our need to, as the church, to embrace Christ and how the priesthood really shares that to the world.
He's in a tough spot, too. John Paul II is a tough act to follow.
Yeah.
And I'm putting that in far too many worldly terms, but, it, you know, he's a very popular pope and tough act to follow, as they say.
Oh, yeah.
There's something else that I read, and this is a favorite quote of yours from St. Ignatius. You probably already know it, but I'll read it. There are too many inspirational quotes and not enough inspirational people.
Mm.
That's pretty deep.
Yeah.
And true, I believe.
Yeah. I don't think that was St. Ignatius, but it has been an inspirational thought for me, just because we're so quick to post online, our musings or other people's thoughts, but really we need to live our faith. You know, it's not just hearing and talking about it, but we need to live our faith. And, that's really one of the strong things that I desire to share with the church.
It's kind of the mission, I suppose, of the seminary, which is to be an inspirational person, lead by example, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But it's, I'm just spewing the words here. It's harder to do.
Yeah.
And for a lay person as well. Well, let's take a break right here since it's about time to do that, and then we'll come back and continue an interesting conversation with Father Dominic Gideon from currently his first assignment at St. Albert the Great in North Royalton. We'll be right back after this on God Calling. Thanks for staying with us on God Calling. I'm Paul Orlowski. Join us each and every week at this very, very same time. We hope you will, and a delightful show so far today. Father Dominic Gideon is joining us, and Father, with fewer priests coming out of the seminaries around the country, this country at least, the increased role of the laity is going to be much more important as we move forward. Have they given instruction in that? Or you can't do everything. You can't be in two places at once. Mm. So some of the laity is going to have to pick up some of the non-sacramental duties. What are your views on that?
Yeah, I mean, in the seminary, we've talked about this plenty. The fact that the priesthood will look very different, from my first year of priesthood to my 50th. God willing, I make it that far. But, we need to realize that just like the apostolic times, the church was really a whole community of people, of priests and laity, where a lot was shared in terms of ministry. And we're kind of going to have to return to that, where the priest doesn't need to be writing every check technically or planning everything to a T, that we're going to have to really entrust the lay people, competent and wonderful lay people, to do certain ministries, to take care of certain aspects of finance. And that makes me happy because, as long as I could trust certain people to help with this, I could do what I desire and what I'm called to, is to serve the people of God and to offer them the sacraments.
Some of the retired guys, priests that I talk to, they love it because he goes, I don't have to hire a custodian to clean the school or to do this, or to, some kids at school broke a window or whatever it is. You know, he goes, I can just be a priest. And they go here and there and say masses when the parish priests have the day off, and they love it. But unfortunately, in those next 50 years, you're going to have a lot of stuff to do till you're 75, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, but just a delightful story when I talk to those guys because they obviously have the love of God in their hearts after that. And now they're really just enjoying it more than ever before. So it's great. Your vocation path seemed pretty direct and right to the prize, which is great.
Yeah.
What do you say to a young man or young woman considering, maybe thinking they're feeling a call?
Yeah. Yeah. I think first things first is that the Lord deeply desires for us to be as fulfilled and happy as we can. And so some people are afraid of answering God's call, but really it always leads to goodness and to fulfillment. For me, I was afraid because I thought I had to have to give up a lot of things. So I wanted to go off to college and pursue English and creative writing, and I thought I'd have to give that up and get up those passions. Obviously celibacy is a tough thing, and so giving up women in a sense. And plenty of other things, certain senses of freedom. But I realized that the Lord gave back everything that I thought I'd be giving up. And so in college, I got to study English and creative writing. I got to really have new and beautiful relationships with women in a way. And then also have experienced fatherhood in a different sense.
Well, that's your title, right?
Yep, Father. Exactly.
Yeah, I think, and I don't know if you've ever had any of this, but sometimes in the old days, they wanted a priest in the family, but they also wanted grandchildren, and that was kind of a. And I don't think that exists so much anymore. I don't know what your thoughts are, but
yeah, I think certain families. I was talking to some faithful mothers. they say, you know, it'd be great to have a priest as a son. But I know, and I've worked in the vocation office throughout seminary, and I know that one of the big detractors of guys entering seminary is their parents.
Mm-hmm.
That they who are very afraid to allow their son to give up the ability to marry and have kids. You know, parents who are uncomfortable with the thought of giving up their son to a parish community or mm-hmm. having them pursue such a, you know, in their sense, an austere path.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I think there's sad misconceptions that's detracting parents from allowing their kids to enter.
Well, you know, if you think about marriage, the parents are giving up because the husband or wife, that's their first responsibility, and this is your first responsibility, I guess. And, what was your first Mass like?
Oh, man.
Nervous?
Yes, there was nerves. But I think, especially walking in, a lot of the nerves were just very kind of calmed as I looked around in just awe of what was going on, of all the people there to embrace me. You know, I tell people that I got to encounter people from every stage of my life. You know, people who were at my baptism, people whom I met a few months earlier in ministry. And then as, you know, the leader of the parish, the worshiping community to offer them Christ. It was just pretty stunning.
Probably when you were in your transitional diaconate year, you probably gave some homilies. I think that's part of the...
Yes.
But I'm sure you practiced quite a bit in the seminary. What's it like that first time? Okay, this is for real. I'm talking to real people here now, not my teachers, or they're not scoring me.
Yeah, yeah.
What's that like?
Yeah, so the beautiful thing is seminary over the past 5 to 10 years have really revamped the preaching curriculum. So by the time we're on internship in the middle of our St. Mary's experience, we're in front of real crowds.
Okay, yeah, right.
And so, so by the time my first Mass came, I wasn't behind the ambo. I had small list of notes. And felt comfortable and free preaching in front of that crowd. And I think people were receptive, but I just it was beautiful being able to feel as a comfortable preacher in that very meaningful celebration.
Almost all of the fellows have come out in the past couple of years we've had on the show, and I'm very impressed by the formation that they've had you guys all of you go through. Just to end on a different note, we had a nun on maybe a month ago, and she was talking about being on campus, and she went to the spiritual director on campus and said she was thinking of religious life, being a nun. And the spiritual director says, oh, nobody does that anymore. Well, that person needs to be find a new job.
Yeah.
For sure. Father Dominic Gideon joining us on God Calling this week. Thanks for sharing your time with us. We really appreciate it. And we hope our listeners will listen each and every week at this very same time, right here on AM 1260 The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio.
Thank you for listening to God Calling. If you missed part of today's show, or you just want to hear it again, go to our website, am1260therock.com, and click on the On Demand tab. And remember, wherever you are in life, God is calling you.
The preceding program was a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you liked it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock.
Click on the orange donate button at am1260therock.com.